listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Bon dia. Sawadee kap. Ni hao. Privet kak de la. Dobro jutro. Buenos dias. Mirdita. Bonjour. Buna dimineața. And wherever else you happen to be around the world, welcome. We're glad to have you. Here on this side of the planet, it's nighttime. It's evening. But in all those other places around the planet, I hope I got the right greeting for your time zone. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted that you are here, and I'm delighted to be here as well. And I think we're going to have a great, wonderful time together this evening. Hey, have you been keeping up with that news out of Romania? I'll tell you what, that has really, really stirred the pot. Defense Ministry, as I announced on Friday, the Defense Ministry released a statement and the video saying one of their MiG-21s, one of their fighter jets, had been struck by four unidentified flying objects and had lived to tell it. It was able to land, and they got it on video from the onboard cameras, and that has really been raising eyebrows and causing people to think and comment. I've gotten quite a number of comments in our email about that, and it is, in fact, interesting, and it's, I think, a very important story. As I said Friday, I think it's important not just because it happened. That's important. But because the Defense Ministry has gone public talking about it and offering up their video of it and not denying it and not using a cover story. So we'll have to see how that all plays out, how it develops. I'll continue to monitor that. Wow, that is a happening event. Another happening event on Mars. The Mars Phoenix lander has a scoop that is designed to scoop up some of the soil, and then it has some onboard ovens that it dumps the soil into, and then those ovens heat it up and to intense heat, and then there are sensors that sort of sniff the vapors coming off of that soil to see if there's any signs of the elements that could support life or could have supported life. Well, the first scoop has refused to go into the oven. It seems that the soil clumps together and it's in just too big of a piece to get it into that little oven. Now, they're going to try and sort of shake it into the oven. They're going to try that one more time, but it hasn't worked yet. And then what they're going to have to do is they've determined that they'll have to scoop a very small amount of soil in order to get it to go into the oven, because it apparently just sort of, well, in their own words, this soil is very cohesive. That's a quote. And that's mission scientist William Boynton that says that. So we'll have to wait and see what's in the dirt on Mars, but they're working on it. On the other side of this break, we're going to have Laura Avini, and she is a fiction author, but her fiction is based on real extraterrestrial encounters. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel OnStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles, and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Welcome to the show. You know what? I said Laura Avini. It's Louise Avini, and I must apologize, but I have to tell you why I did it. I have to tell you. I have up on my screen an email from someone named Laura that my eye caught as I was telling you that, and I have now closed that. Louise Rose Avini, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, Kevin. Good evening. Thank you.
What a way to start, huh, with an apology.
Well, you know what? As long as you get the name right eventually, it's okay.
You're a fiction writer.
That's correct.
But you have written about things that are based, it's based on reality of extraterrestrial contact. And we've heard about, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on this show a lot, people have called in and asked questions about this. Do I think that disclosure is happening based on novels, and or is it happening through novels and television shows and movies where they're just letting little bits of reality kind of soak out into the public? Well, you're living proof that that is happening.
Oh, very definitely, Kevin. I think that's very true, and I just, for your listeners' edification, to know that there's a great deal of truth in the trilogy that I wrote. Lupo, Conversations with an ET is the very first one, and Hybrid, which was just released, the conversation continues, and then in 2009, I hope to get the last one of the series out called Crystal, spelled with a K. And what happened was a very real gentleman came into my life when I moved from Boston to Boca Raton, Florida back in 1993, and I met him at his place of business. He had a New Age store, and I knew him for about 2 years. And as I was spiritually awakening, I would go to him and ask him questions, and more as he became trusting of me, he started disclosing to me who he was. And when I found out who he was, and you know, here's the weird thing, Kevin, never having been in this position before, and not, I was very interested in this subject matter like so many others, but you know, you're kind of on the fence. But for whatever reason, when he started disclosing this information to me, I knew he was telling me the truth. And I knew that this was an amazing story, and I wanted to be the one to write it.
How did you know he was telling you the truth? He told you that he was not from this planet, right?
Well, let me just kind of back up a little bit. How it unfolded was during our conversations, as we started sharing more and more, and like I said, I was opening up, somehow during one conversation I said to him, you know, I said, ever since I was little, I could step outside and point up to a particular star. Always. I didn't have to look around for it. It was like a homing device. I just pointed up to it. And he said, well, where was it? And I started to describe to him, not knowing much about constellations and everything. And he said, oh, he said, that's Sirius. That's up in the Orion Belt. And then he smiled. And I said, why are you smiling? He said, that's where I'm from. So when he said that, most people would go, what? But for some reason, I can't tell you. It was like a knowing, like I just knew he was telling me the truth. And he wasn't a very pretentious person. He was kind of laid back, matter of fact. And because he had such psychic prowess whenever I was around him, and he would say to me, oh, something interesting happened to you last night, and I'd say, as a matter of fact, you know. So we became to have this trust, and what I did was I met with him for 6 weeks, and taped his conversations with me. That's where the conversations with an ET comes from. And I knew I just had to write this story.
Tell us a little bit. I know you can't give the store away. I understand that. But tell us a little bit about these conversations with an ET. What did he say that was so interesting that it would need to be put into a book?
Well, first and foremost, the time frame of all this was, it was like right after the raw, he was born in 1957, and he was an orphan in Italy. And what would happen was, he started telling me when he was only two that he was highly intelligent, and that he started seeing his little friends, as he called them. And he learned later and figured out later on that they were ETs, you know, the typical small ETs. There were two shorter ones and one taller one. And he started going on trips with them, visitations, he'd call them. Today we'd call them abductions, but back then he called them visitations. And he could, of course, when he started telling people about this, you know, the foster family that he was living with, they thought he was nuts or he was having separation anxiety or whatever, and he was forbidden to talk about it. So as he was telling me how he grew up and then he ended up being adopted and coming to America, and this continued. His visitations continued, and the people that he would interact with, it was amazing. So that's basically how it was. And the message that was coming very clear to me was I had no fear when I was talking with him about this, and I didn't think he was nuts when he was talking about it. And he was showing me a benevolent side, and it was no longer a question of are they here, it's why are they here. And that's kind of where I took the trilogy was it starts out in, like I said, the late 50s. A hybrid takes place now in 2000 and forward, and Crystal is going to be in that infamous, wonderful year that we got coming up, 2012. So, of course, there's a lot of poetic license in here, but there's an awful lot of truth in here, too. Not just his experiences, because I have to share with you that I lost track of him after a while, so I never got him totally into an adult from his conversations with me. So there's a lot of other experiences, including some of my own, in there. So it's kind of like a tapestry of fact and fiction.
All right. I want us to kind of highlight again. You said it, but I want to highlight why you chose to write this as fiction.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a very good question, Kevin. Because I was feeling that, number one, I'd have a lot more latitude in bringing certain experiences in, but more importantly, I thought it would be a little more palatable for those that were reading it. You know, there's a lot of people that are on the fence, and for those that are on the fence, this is a gentle way to kind of introduce some things. Sheldon Neidel honored me with, he's a wonderful writer as well, he wrote First Contact and Your Galactic Neighbor, and Sheldon and I hooked up after some time, and he said to me that one of the things that he found so profound in here that Hybrid introduces to the reader some pretty basic aspects of the world that he personally experienced, and it was easier for folks to kind of read it this way, because while it took you on an adventure, it made you sit there and go, you know, with everything we're getting bombarded with today, even myself, and I'm a true believer, you do have to discern certain things. So I just felt this was a gentle way to bring in some real true experiences and let the reader decide for themselves. As I say, I don't want to jam anything down anybody's throats. I just want them to consider the possibilities.
Are you familiar with the name Charles Hall?
No, actually I'm not.
Well, Charles Hall was in the Air Force and personally experienced some extraterrestrial contact for a prolonged period of time. And he wrote a trilogy of books that were novels, but based on real experiences and real situations. And then he's come out now with one that is not a novel and gives the correct dates and the correct locations. He does disguise names, but this one is nonfiction. Is there anything like that in the offing for you?
Well, actually, yes, probably down the line, because I have had so many experiences. And I'll tell you something else, Kevin. As I go around the country speaking, promoting the books, obviously, but I also go around, my first speaking engagements were called The Benevolent Alien, because I wanted to put a benevolent face on those star beings that may walk among us. I know I'm not naive in saying that they're not, you know, everything's wonderful, because there's negative beings just like there are here on our own planet. But I did want to take the fear factor out of it, because we've been so programmed and so sensitized to thinking this is a bad thing by deliberate intent, I'm sure. And one of the things that I'm hoping to do, probably after the trilogy is done, because this path has taken me in such a wonderful place of talking with people around the country and hearing their stories. And I lived in Sedona, Arizona for a little bit. Let me tell you, that is the place to have some experiences, and I've had my own. And just going around the country, I've had some people walk up to me and claim to be of not here. Some of them, of course, here again, we have to go with your own discernment. You know, for whatever reason, they think they need to form an identity of importance, and they will say, or perhaps they might not be totally medically balanced or mentally balanced. So it's one of those deals where you just kind of have to go with your own gut feeling. Is this true or is it not true? And I'll be honest with you, I believe, in from my discernment, from my perspective, I have met four in my travels that are not from here. And I hope to write about them someday.
Well, I have met one that I'm pretty sure about. In fact, I'm sure about. He has been a guest on this show. Now, he did not disclose on the show that fact, and I won't blow the cover. But it's very, very interesting when you talk with one of these folks, because they tell you things that are really beyond what they could know unless it were real.
And didn't you get that sense, for whatever reason, and for lack of a better word, you bought into it? There's just something that you just know that they're sincere. And there's something on another level that you're picking up on that, like I said, you call it your discernment. And because I've been doing this for so long, can I be fooled? Absolutely, you know. But eventually it can change. It will change, and I'll kind of figure it out. I've had that happen a couple of times, too.
Well, so I knew this guy for well over a year and before we had that conversation. However, for that year, I said on several occasions, man, if there's ever anyone that I've ever met that is from off planet, it's this guy. And that was for, I had said that to several people during that year before he and I had that conversation where he disclosed to me where he was, what his origin was.
Now, well, of course, they're very low key about it, you know.
The person that you based Lupo on, was there anything distinguishing about that person? Like, were they very tall? Or
nope, not at all. He is of Italian descent, as am I. However, to me, he looked almost Native American. He wore his hair in a ponytail, pulled back, and very sweet, gentle, easy personality, very unpretentious, very genuine, very well-respected in the community, businessman, family man, all of the above, but he was extremely spiritual, and but he didn't go take me to the, what I used to call, a woo-woo place. He wouldn't go there. He would just kind of matter-of-fact say things. For example, when I was first opening up, as I said, I was learning how to channel and reading books and things like that, and I'd walk into his store, and he'd say to me, anything interesting happened to you? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, last night I was channeling, you know, and it's kind of like a drug when you first do it because you just want to do it all the time. And I saw a tall, well, I called it a tall boy and two smaller boys. And he said, ah, the gatekeepers. And I said, what are you talking about, the gatekeepers? And he said, those are ETs. And I said, what does it mean? And he says, well, pretty much the simple way to explain it is that when you're getting ready to travel telepathically or go with them, they just want to make sure you get back. It's like if you're going into a nightclub, you know, you have the people standing there at the little rope thing, opening it up, letting you in, and making sure you get out, and that's who they are. And I found that pretty interesting.
So they're like ET bouncers, huh?
There you go. There you go. They're going to let you in. But it was kind of comical. But that's how he was. And he was very laid back. And the term Lupo, by the way, is Italian for wolf.
Well, yeah,
and
I wanted to ask you, why that?
Well, here's the thing. When I was listening back to his tapes that he'd given me, he kept talking about Lupo and how it means wolf. And it was the equivalent back, he lived in the high farmlands of Italy. I think it was Varese, Italy that he was brought up for the first 2 years of his life, 3 years. And the farmers would yell, Lupo, Lupo, meaning wolf, wolf, which is equivalent to yelling fire, fire, you know, kind of a thing. And it was one of those aha moments when I was listening to the tapes and I said, Lupo, I think this book needs to have that name, Lupo, Conversations with an ET. So even though he did have some interaction with a wolf, I took it creatively to another place and a whole other place, and that's why I chose Lupo. But he didn't call the wolf Lupo. Lupo means wolf.
Yeah. However, there are people who have that as a name or a nickname.
Well, Lupiano, here's the funny thing, is that there are no coincidences, and it was funny, as I was getting ready to write the book and get the book published, I remember, and by the way, it took me almost 10 years to get this published, not because it took me that long to write it, Kevin, but I had put it away for a long time. I wasn't quite sure. It was going to be called the Alien Conspiracy at one point, because this gentleman was sharing with me, he actually ended up, I believe he intimated to me that he had worked in the Pentagon for a little bit, and the reason that he wanted me to keep his identity a secret was because at that time, you got to figure back in 1993, if we kind of started disclosing some of this stuff, we could have been in trouble or in danger. So he wanted me to keep his identity a secret, which I promised him I would, and I have to this day, and will continue to do so. And also some of the information that he was giving me, I needed to put in the context of fiction, because I had some concerns about what I was going to write about. But because it took me so long to actually get around to write it, I didn't start writing it sincerely until I lived in Sedona, and that was in 2004, and it all just kind of fell in. And then I wasn't afraid. Everything was happening at that time. Things were happening left and right. People were coming out more and more, so I felt I was comfortable in writing it like that.
Now, you said that you have met a total of four people that you're certain are off-worlders.
From my discernment and my perspective, I would say yes. I'm comfortable with feeling that they are from not here. That's the easier way for me to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were able to, just like the gentleman that you know, there's something about them. They're very laid back about it, and it's not like they're going to go out there and say, "Hey, guess what? I'm from Mars," or something like that. They are very, very careful about who they disclose themselves to. And because they were able to share things with me that nobody else knew, and they could articulate certain things, and we were having a lot of telepathic exchange, yes, I would say I'm very convinced there are four out there that I've met.
Have they shown up in any of your other books?
Actually, in Hybrid, one of them has showed up in the book, actually. One woman I met recently, about maybe less than a year ago, I was speaking before a UFO paranormal group here in Sarasota, Florida. That's where I live now. And I was taking a break because I was getting ready to show a video, and this person came up to me. She waited very patiently to get my attention, and she came up to me, and I said, "Hi, I'm Louise. How can I help you?" And she just kind of looked at me, and all of a sudden this telepathic communication started, and I went, "Oh, boy, here we go." And I knew that, and I just leaned into her, and I whispered, "Who are you?" And she just smiled at me and started communicating with me again telepathically, and I leaned in again and said, "What shall I call you?" And she told me her name, and I won't say it on air because this person is known around here. And I said, "How can I help you?" And she said, very shyly, she said, "I've been hiding. I'm coming out now, and I was told to come here and speak to you." And she asked me if I was one of five. And at first, I didn't know what she meant. And I went, "Oh, no, I don't think so." And then something stopped me, and I said, "Why does that sound familiar, one of five?" And I had to stop the conversation because it was time for me to go back and resume my speaking engagement.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me stop the conversation right
okay,
here
sure.
Because we have to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I want to hear about this one of five. So let's not forget that. We'll pick it up right there when we come back. Well, I told you, folks. I told you. We don't do anything here that's not absolutely fantastic. Louise Avini. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, remember, if you haven't done so, be sure you get over to KevinSmithShow.com and subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, all right? It's our free weekly newsletter. You want to be sure you get subscribed. Cost you nothing. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. All right, we're talking with Louise Avaney, and we're talking about some novels, a trilogy of novels that she is responsible for, that she wrote, and they're based on real events that actually took place. Louise, when we had to cut away, you were talking with us about One of Five. What's that all about?
Well, like I said, Kevin, I was doing a speaking engagement here in Sarasota, Florida, and I was approached by a being in human form who we started communicating telepathically, and she inquired of me, am I one of five? And at first I didn't understand what she was saying. I just started to do a knee-jerk answer, oh, no, I don't. And then I stopped mid-sentence, and I said, why is that familiar? And that's what this waking up thing is that as I am awakening and starting to remember a lot of things, people are coming into my life, and she was one of them. And I wasn't able to speak with her because I had to get back to my speaking engagement, but I did hook up with her later on, and I asked her about it, and pretty much she was seeking. She had been in, she called it in hiding. She had been staying pretty low profile herself because she is not from here. And she was starting to come out and seek people like mine. But the One of Five refers to other hybrids and other star seeds. And one of the things that I truly believe is that we're all star-seeded. I believe that we have a galactic ancestry, just like we have, you know, my parents, grandparents were from Italy and France and things like that. I think we have a galactic ancestry. And some of us are beginning to remember. We had our genes were encoded with a wake-up call. Our memory is being restored at varying degrees. So is mine. And I think that One of Five reference, which I did put in hybrid, by the way, I disguised it, but it's about discovering some people that you're needing to hook up with at a precise time in history or in current time for a purpose, that we're hooking up, we're joining up, we're networking, we're coming together. And it has very definitely coming to pass that I am one of five as I started clicking off some of the people that I've met recently, and I'm touring the country doing some speaking engagements. There's five of us that are interacting, and I went, wow, there's the one in five. So
what do you think? Do you think you're from off-world?
I believe that, yes, I believe that there's, I'm human for sure, but I think that there's an awful lot that is coming through to me recently that I'm waking up and I'm starting to remember a lot of things and starting to interact. And one of the things that has happened to me in the last 8 to 10 years is I started having some, I call them downloads. I started getting information. First it came in form of writing. Some people would call it a muse or channeling, but I'm calling them downloads because it went beyond the writing portion, and it was information. Now, I have to explain something. I'm not a prolific reader. Here am I, a writer, but I'm not a prolific reader, and I did that deliberately, Kevin, because I wanted to prove to myself, and this goes back to when I met the gentleman in Boca, I wanted to prove to myself I needed some validation. So rather than being influenced and having my thought process contaminated with other people's writings and thoughts, I would have experiences first, and then I'd seek the answer out later. And that was the validation for me, and it's been working for me for almost 20 years now. So the same thing holds true with the information that I'm getting. I'll get information and keep it to myself or put it in my books. And then later on, there's a common thread that runs through. Either some scientist comes up with it, or there's something on the news or something, and I go, wow. So for me, there's that validation right then and there. I don't make it well known that I have this, although people have approached me, and they start saying where I'm from, and this is stuff that I've already had in my head. I interact with a group I call the Council. I have never asked them where they're from. I don't want to name drop. I don't believe, you know, some people go around saying, well, I'm talking with Pleiadians and I'm talking with Zeta Reticuli. And I don't go there. I just know I'm getting this information and I get validation with what they share with me eventually.
Why do you call them the Council?
Because there's about 26 of them. It's like it's a group. I had a sense that it was more than one entity that I was dealing with. And here's the funny thing. When I was going around, and like I said, Kevin, different people approach me, and there's a lot of psychic people that will interact with me and or even talk with me over the phone. Now, remember, I use the word council, and different people will come up to me, and they say, you got this big entourage around you. And I start to giggle because I'm going, yeah, I know. And they say, I see about 26. And there again, I laugh because there's that magical number, 26. And in one of my recent speaking engagements, someone in the audience said during the break that they saw some beings around me, and they said, just out of curiosity, when you go back, ask your audience, do you see beings around me? He says, I see three, a tall one and two shorter ones. Now remember, that's what I had, you know, I called them the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And so when I went back and I said, by the way, John in the audience said to me to ask you, does anybody see any beings around me? Well, the whole audience just burst out and, oh, yeah, there's three. There's a tall one and two shorter ones. And we all started laughing because that's exactly what's always around me is at least those three. So there's the validation for me.
Have you ever seen these beings yourself?
Yes. I haven't seen them in 3D form, if that's what you're asking. I have a sense of them, obviously, telepathically. And a couple of nights, I was actually, you know how when you get up in the middle of the night and you go get a drink of water, use the bathroom, or whatever, and I was pretty much awake. I'm not a sleepwalker, and I'd gotten back into bed, and I fluffed up the pillow, and I was going to lay on my stomach, and I kind of leaned my head up to look at the clock radio, and there sitting on my nightstand was a being, and I remember just kind of like blinking my eyes going, am I seeing what I'm seeing here? And I knew I was awake. That was the key. I knew I was awake, and I wasn't sleepwalking. And I just kind of went, huh, and I laid back down and went to sleep. The next morning I woke up and I went, what? You know, it's one of those, you talk about a long pause. It was one of those, wow. But that happens to me all the time, you know. I mean, I've gotten so used to things happening now, it's like, oh, wow, that's cool. I don't mean to be blasé about it, cavalier, certainly not at all. But when the real deal happens, sometimes you're pretty, you kind of accept it like it's not supernatural, it's very natural.
Let's talk about hybrid. What are we going to find when we open hybrid and begin to read? What's the basic premise?
Sure. Well, hybrid's a continuation of Lupo. Now, Lupo, and here again, I can't get into the characterization too much because I'll give it away, but hybrid picks it up at the year 2000, and the child is now an adult. And he is now has a partner. His wife, who he had met through some pretty interesting circumstances, she's a hybrid as well, as is my main character, Stefan. And they're continuing their galactic mission only to find other benevolent hybrids like themselves. But the intrigue that I put in this was that Stefan, who has a very unique job, he does something to do with the government. He's being pressured by a terminally ill philanthropist to, and he has the daunting task to discern this man's suspect agenda because he, being the philanthropist, is dying of a rare form of brain cancer. And he knows that my character, Stefan, has interaction with the hybrids. So he's wanting Stefan, you know, is kind of like, I'll give you the money to back your project if you connect me with the hybrids so they can either cure me or take me to their planet where I can live out longer. So that's kind of cool. But I also have a subplot that's going along with his wife, who is, and this is where it gets really interesting. It was my favorite part of writing hybrid because every other chapter is each character. It's either Stefan or his wife, Liz. Now, Liz is a psychologist for children like they were, and she's got an amazing, highly psychic child named Bethany who interacts with hybrids. Now, a lot of my research came from finding out that there are children that are working with hybrids and teaching them how to interact here, like how to play with toys and how to be more human. And ironically, recently I heard on one of the conferences that I went to that that is kind of what the people that used to be abducted, remember they used to be tested and go through all kinds of horrific things, there's more of a cooperation now with being taken, as they call it, not abducted. It's taken on a very different posture where it's one of cooperation. And they're showing those off-planet and other dimensions how to act human. And I asked why. I said, what's the purpose in that? And they said, so they can walk among us and be a little, you know, not be so different. And I've heard that more and more, so I guess that seems to be the new thing now with abductees. By the way, also, Jim Sparks, I don't know if you know of him, he wrote a wonderful book called The Keepers.
Yeah, he's been on this show several times.
Yeah, well, Jim and I just did a conference out in Sedona called Save the Planet. Now, we hooked up through synchronicity, and that would be the one of five, whereby, and you know his story, that he was abducted since 1988. Well, his abductions or his takings now are one of cooperation. And what we're trying to do is, and he's actually, I think he's in Australia now, he has a foundation called Your Earth. And these beings, for their, whatever their agenda is, wants to see us evolve. Not necessarily because they want it all to be rosy and we'll hold hands and like a Coca-Cola commercial, you know, I want to teach the world to sing kind of thing. But they say our planet is dying. And that's pretty much the message in my books. Now, my books were written, and I didn't know Jim at the time, and that's the synchronicity that brought us together. There's underlying messages in my books as well about our planet is dying, and they want us to help. They want to help us get the technologies that have been hidden from us for so long, so we can survive.
Well, when you say the planet is dying, I'm quite certain that there are people out there that are shocked by that. But you know, it's one of the laws of thermodynamics. It's called entropy. Everything is running down, and we all started dying right after we were born.
Yeah,
we all started heading there.
Too.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. 'Cause now I ducked out on a limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. Just not before. I don't remember what happened, but baby, I see you found the door. Baby, nobody's perfect. I know I could have done more. I see you found the door.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back, and let me say, you just heard the spot that says get it all, become a member at the Kevin Smith Show. Well, look, we just got the new forum software installed, so all of you who are members need to go over there and take a look at it. And if you're not a member, join. Why not? You know, that's that commercial says it all. You get it all. All right, we're talking with Louise Avaney, and we're talking about this trilogy that she's written. And
Louise, are all three of them written now?
I've just started Crystal. I'm dedicating this summer to finish Crystal and get Crystal out, and that's spelled with a K. It's called A New Beginning. Probably February of next year, 2009. I like to give each book, its due time to get out because there's so much going on and there's so much to be said. And here's the other thing. Remember, I was telling you about my interaction with Jim Sparks, and Jim had read the first book, Lupo, and he was kind enough to also give me a testimonial. I gave him the manuscript for Hybrid. And when we were talking, he said to me, Louise, have you ever been abducted? And I said, I don't think so, Jim. And he says, I think you have. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, because what you put here in Hybrid, in Lupo, he said, you couldn't have known unless you were. So I said, well, why don't I have that memory? And he said, because they don't. Jim is one of those rare people. As you know, he has 95% recall, total recall of his experience. He said, because it would interfere with what your mission is. So I think what he was referring to was that it was necessary for me to remain on this level so I could get these words out and not make it a horrific experience. And I'll tell you, it's happened twice in both books that are written. When I wrote Lupo, I knew that there was that one chapter that I had to, it had to be the bring it all together kind of chapter, and I really didn't know what I wanted to say. How was I going to tie this all in? And I woke up one day and I sat at the computer, and I'm telling you the truth, I never remembered what I wrote. It was like 5.5 hours went by, and when I was finished, I was exhausted. It was like I was having things given to me, and I was transcribing. It was coming through me and not of me. And when people read that chapter that I'm talking about, Lupo Speaks, it's not in any, it's almost a foreign language. It comes out very highly evolved, and I don't speak like that normally. And the same thing with Hybrid. Now I know the process, and I just asked for it. I said, well, when you're ready to give it to me, give it to me. And it did. And so there are very distinct chapters where you can see that it's, some people call it channeling. It's just very different verbiage, very different way of expressing some pretty important things. And like I said, I'm not one that does a lot of reading, so I don't, it came from someplace else. It's pretty amazing.
Does it bother you to think that you may have been abducted?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. It bothers me that I may have been abducted, but what doesn't bother me is the fact that I have no memory of it. So if it was not a pleasant experience, it's been erased from my memory. So, and I will be honest with you, when I lived in Boca and I was still first opening up, and this was all new to me. I'm a healthy skeptic, even though I tend to be a little more open than others. I am a healthy skeptic, and there were twice when I was living in Boca, and I lived there for 10 years, a gray was at the foot of my bed. And the traditional gray that we expect to see and we've seen and everything, and it did freak me out. And I remember asking it to leave in fear, and it left, which, you know, kind of flew in the face of what people were talking about, the grays being, you know, negative beings and so on and so forth, until I met Jim. Now here we are like 15 years later, and he's sharing with me that he interacted with the grays as well, and no, they're not all negative. What he said we do as humans, or the human side of us, is we try to put emotions and logic as we perceive it to a non-human intelligence. And I went, yeah, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? We're trying to make them fit into our mold, you know?
Yeah. You know, let me give an example here. And, you know, I've used a similar example recently, as a matter of fact, on Friday. Different, but similar. There is a tribe of people that live in the Amazon rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some missionaries that went there, and they wanted to make contact with them, and they did, and everything was going pretty good. One of the missionaries was a medical missionary, a doctor. There was a lady who in the tribe who was pregnant and was having some real problems, and so he did what doctors do, and he gave her a pelvic examination, and all seven missionaries were killed as a result of that. Now, in our society, you know, if the doctor said, no, I'm not going to do that, he would lose his medical license, he would be sued, it's expected that he would do it.
Exactly.
In that society, it was absolutely taboo. Now, whenever we're dealing with our culture and our sociology, bumping up against the culture and sociology of some ET race, you can have a lot of similar things happen, that they may do things that are absolutely expected, and you know, to them, it's the right thing to do. To us, absolutely taboo.
Well, I'll give you a good example of that, and this is one of the things I talk about when I'm out there, is here we are on our planet, and in the name of science and exploration, we go about and we find different species, and what do? We trap them, entrap them, we take samples from them, we tag them, and we release them, and we go, aren't we wonderful, in the name of science, look what we're doing. Now, here we have beings off-planet, interdimensional, whatever, that are explorers as well into the galaxy and beyond, and what do? They take us, or they check us over, they take some samples, and they tag us with implants, and they release us, and we shake our fists to the sky and say, how dare you? It's kind of like a double-edged sword here.
Yeah, I would imagine if a dolphin had a fist to shake,
Yeah, exactly. I
bet they would, because I bet they would say, my best interest, phooey.
Exactly.
That hurt.
It sure did. Well, you know, Kevin, too, quantum physics tells us there are an infinite number of possibilities. So how far of a stretch would it be for us to be either seated from other beings and dimensions, or to have other dimensions be out there and beings? Remember that wonderful movie Contact,
yeah,
where Jodie Foster's character said to her father as a young child, you know, are we alone? And he says, well, it would be a terrible waste of space. I think that's one of the best lines in a movie. I mean, it's for sure kind of says it all.
Yeah. You know, what interests me about this conversation, and we have a break coming up here in about a minute and a half, but what interests me about this conversation is your attitude towards extraterrestrials is not a broad brush attitude. You haven't said, okay, they're all wonderful and they're here to save us.
Definitely not.
Because I think there's evidence that there are some that are malevolent and don't have our best interest at heart, and I think there's evidence there are some that do. I can't imagine why the rest of the galaxy in that regard would be different from us if we're a product of this galaxy. If we're a product of this galaxy, some of us are good, some are evil. Why would it be different everywhere else in the galaxy?
Well, and like you said, Kevin, where if you go on this theory and the conjecture that we're star-seeded, that might explain why we have so much diversity on our planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
There's a lot of hostility, and there's a lot of, I mean, we're pretty dangerous species as it is. Look at what we're doing here, so I can't see where we're anything great to come after either.
Well, you know, the only types of life on this planet that are not really threatened by us are the ones that are microbial and have developed resistance to antibiotics.
Exactly, exactly.
Everything else on this planet is threatened by us.
Yep, and the thing too with the other thing is as we are on Mars right now, we're looking for quote unquote life. I have a little issue with life by our definition.
Oh,
you know,
I do
everything
too.
Everything is by our definition. You know, oh, it's not possible because we don't know that, and we have no point of reference with some of this stuff. So staying open to me, I mean, we base our whole society on stories and anecdotes that were passed down through the ages, and we formed our religions based on it.
And we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. More with Louise Aveni, and I'll open the telephone lines for your calls, your comments, your questions. We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and my guest this evening is Louise Avaney.
Louise, we already have calls coming in, so why don't we go straight to the telephone?
Terrific.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
I know.
Hey, Kevin, before I get to a question for you, Louisa, Kevin, I've got to say, I really love the new bumper music you have when you go to and from break.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really like the new bumper music. It's a lot better than the one you had before.
Oh, you were just used to the one before. You were tired of it.
No, but I love the new music. I think it fits the show a lot better. And, Louise, either in your books or in your own personal encounters, have you ever have any mention of the Anunnaki?
Actually, I don't mention them like that. I allude to all of that. One of the points that I was trying to make in the book was I didn't want to focus too much on the negative aspects of all of that. It's very definitely in the book, but I don't name it like that. I don't mention the Illuminati. I think I do mention Cabal. I think I do mention that. But
Well, no, he was asking about the Anunnaki.
Anunnaki. No, I didn't reference it like that, but what I did do was bring in a lot of Native American cultures and being stewards of the earth and so on and so forth. But no, I didn't mention it in the book.
Well, what about Planet X or Nibiru?
No, because this was more, I consider, and that Planet X may come up in Crystal, to be honest with you, because as we're approaching, don't forget, the third book is going to start in 2012, around that time in the winter solstice. So that'll be a good opportunity for me to bring in things like that, because as we're moving into the future, and I'll be able to be a little more scientific in the third book.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for
thank
the call,
you.
Kevin. All right, folks, the toll-free telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. Now, that's toll-free anywhere in the United States. It's toll-free in Canada. If you're outside that area, there are two ways for you to participate in this show, all right? One way is for you to use Skype and Skype in. My Skype address is kevin.smith.show. But you must be outside of the USA and outside of Canada, all right? If you're inside of the USA and Canada, that's a toll-free zone for that telephone number, 1-800-289-1092. The other way for you to participate if you're outside of the USA and Canada is a Flash message. And we've gotten both Skype and Flash working reasonably well now. All right. So you can send us a Flash message. Just send an email with your question or comment to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Louise, I have a real quick question for you.
Sure. Go ahead, Brent.
You say you've been getting downloads for the past several years.
Yes.
Have you had anything? Now, I'm not worried about the 2012 stuff. I'm just curious if you've got any. Is there any possibility of us going through some kind of evolution as we pass through the galactic plane?
Well, actually, that's a great question because, yes, I have. And one of the things that I've asked. I have questions myself to them and asked very poignantly about that. And what I got, and this is just my discernment, is that we're not going to have all the horrible, catastrophic things they're talking about, but we will have some major shifts going on, and we are going to evolve this time, maybe just not everybody. Now, I know that sounds like I answered out of both sides of my mouth, but here what I'm saying is that we have a certain amount, mass consciousness has a certain amount of control of this, but because we don't know we do, that's going to determine how bad it gets or how good it is. As far as 2012, I mean, we have changes we're going through now. The 2012 thing is simply just the beginning of a new time for us. It's not the, when they call it the end times, it just means the end of that time, the way we live there. We're coming into a new period of living. It's not like the world is going to end, but I do believe that we are going to evolve. I believe that as we're going through the photon belt now, and we're going through all these changes, and we go through the ascension. Just as an example, I'm able to see orbs without taking photographs. I can see them, not all the time, but as we are raising our vibration, our frequency is changing, I'm able to see them, and so are some other people I hear. So that just goes to show we're turning into galactic beings more than when we've ever been. I hope that answered your question, Brent.
Yeah, Brent, thank you for that call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Paul, I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Paul from New York. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'd like to ask your guest if she's familiar with the Billy Meyer story and if she ever had any contact with him.
No, I have not. The Billy Meyer story, of course, is world famous. But no, I've never had any contact with him. My interaction with folks has been pretty much like Dr. Richard Boylan, Jim Sparks, Tom Dongo of Sedona, Arizona, who's a wonderful UFO researcher. But pretty much the folks that I'm interacting with right now, and they're telling me their stories, they're just like Billy Meyer, just an ordinary person that had something pretty amazing happen to them, but I have not personally talked with him, no.
I have another question for you. Is there any way that any ordinary person can open up their spiritual consciousness the way you did?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm not unique in that. It's just that somehow I found the tools. One of the things is to be open to the possibilities, first and foremost. And the other thing is to, for me, I just started, like I said, it was a book called Learning to Channel, Opening to Channel, I think it was, by Sanaya Roman. And I started that like 20 years ago. And you just kind of evolve. When things are right for you, it's like when the student is ready, the teacher appears, kind of a thing. So if you are open to the possibilities, just remain open, but guarded. Be skeptical. You know, don't accept everything and anything somebody says. Even the ET beings, there are beings that are they're tricksters, and you have to kind of listen to your gut and follow your guidance whether you're going to allow this to be so for you or not. But absolutely. You can.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the
call,
Paul. All right, let me say again how you can participate in the show. You can call us on the toll-free number if you're inside of the USA and Canada. It's 1-800-289-1092. If you're outside that area, you can use Skype, and you just simply Skype me at kevin.smith.show. Now, let me say, if you Skype in, we're going to answer and put you on hold. You won't even hear me say anything, probably. We'll put you on hold because I've got a couple of buttons I have to click to make that work, all right? So don't panic or go away. Once we put you on hold, we are going to bring you on the air. All right. What's the purpose of the hybrid program? I mean, look, if it's just so they will look like us and be able to walk among us, so what? What's the purpose of that?
Well, I think it actually goes even deeper than that. I think initially, if you buy into the theory that we were star-seeded, that, you know, planet Earth was, you know, it's like some say we're biogenetic computers that house energy spirits, and we chose this time-space reality. So we're looked at like galactic pioneers who are bringing this beautiful blue water planet and all its inhabitants into ultimate evolution. Well, certainly since the beginning of time, we've had the opportunity to overcome those limitations placed on us, but we failed. So back in probably the beginning days, I mean, this is a beautiful planet, and I'm sure there were those in conflict, those meaning other beings from other places. It's like this is prime real estate. It's like Boardwalk and Park Place. You know, they were in conflict for Earth's ownership and battle for control. So they manipulated our genetic code for their own suspect reasons. So by disengaging our natural abilities, both psychic and telepathic, and altering our physical DNA, we're predisposed to limited power and function. So now the human hybrids, with all the things that they're able to do, they're not superhuman. They're just what we're turning into. They're our children now that have, the children being born today, a lot of them, their DNA, they have created that third helix. And there was an experiment done not too long ago where they had some three-year-olds look at a glass of water, and they could fill it just by willing it to be filled with water. And they go, wow, they're superhuman. No, they're who we're turning into. But the hybrid program, I believe, if we're going to be part of the galactic neighborhood, don't forget, we've been trying to get off this planet to find out what's out there. Well, so have they wanted to see what's going on here. So in order to make it a less volatile situation, if they can walk among us undetected, well, that's a heck of a lot better, isn't it? Otherwise, because we shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, we do tend to do that.
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's go back to the phone for a moment. And, sure. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
I was just wondering if they provided you with any piece of like maybe physical evidence that they brought from their home planet, like maybe a picture or some kind of something that you can look at besides just hearsay. And another
that's always a tricky one, isn't it? And like I was saying to a few minutes ago, is that the same thing holds true with our beliefs and our religious beliefs. You know, what artifacts do we have from that's passed down other than from that generation or from that time period? I personally don't have anything other than photographs that were given to me by Tom Dongo of an alien that's on my website, actually. It's at www.SedonaAngels, and it's AA.com. You can see it on my UFO page. But I don't have anything physically like that. And I think that's where we run into difficulty, because we don't have any quote-unquote trace evidence. You know, it's all telepathic, and, you know, who's to say we're just not making it up in our heads. But, no, I personally don't.
The reason why I ask that is because I recently got done watching the movie Taken by Steven Spielberg. Great movie. In fact, it's free on YouTube now. You can watch it. But it's a great movie, fantastic movie. But people see it as fiction. When it was on air on TV, I think most people see it as fiction because, it's hard to differentiate between fiction and nonfiction.
We have no point of reference, and that's the point, is that, and you bring up a really good point, that Steven Spielberg, if I could just interject this, I think either he or someone around him has had interaction, because a lot of his stuff is spot on. I think Close Encounters and E.T. are magnificent. Unfortunately, he pulled a 180, and someone pressured him to do the remake of War of the Worlds, so it's putting what? The fear factor back in there.
And Kevin, I had one question for you.
All right.
This person that said that told you confidentially about the fact that he was not from this planet. Has he been on your show in the past year, or is he on frequently? Or
he has been on in the past year. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks.
Take my call.
Bye. All right. 1-800-289-1092 or Skype at kevin.smith.show. Skype if you're outside of our toll-free area. If you look at the individual that I mentioned, you would not see anything that would make you say this person is from off-planet. It's when you sit down and talk and you listen, there is something about it. It's not just another human talking to you. It's just different, and there's no way I can adequately describe it or explain it.
I might be able to help you with that.
All right.
To help how you discern it. Everything is energy and frequency. And it's just like we don't naturally normally see the auras. We have to kind of look for it, use a different part of our vision, use a different part of our eyes, our physical apparatus. When we are interacting with those, we are vibrationally changed. The frequency changes. And that's where you get to that knowing place that I was referring to. Now, there are some individuals I have met, and that one, that woman that asked me if I was one of five, she had a very definite robotic awkwardness in her physicality. She looked like she was struggling to be in this physical vehicle. I don't mean she had a limp or anything like that. She was just awkward in movement. And I will tell you this, it freaked me out at first when it happened. I met her in a, because I wasn't quite sure if who she was, and I wanted to make sure she was genuine, and I wanted to meet in a place of out in the public, so I met her down by the water at a bayfront park. And we're sitting there talking and everything. We're doing a lot of telepathic talking and every once in a while throwing something out. I looked out at the water, and I turned to speak to her, and when I did, I went, oh, like that, and for an instant, I saw her as she really is, and that's never happened to me before, and it hasn't happened since. And she said, oh, you saw me. And I said, yeah, I did. And she goes, are you okay with that? And I said, actually, I am. And I was surprised that I was, because what I saw in a flash, and it wasn't that I was trying to even put it there, it was in my face, was she was very reptilian looking in her overlay reptilian look. And from what I understand from Jim Sparks, and this might fly in the face of what we think because of what we've seen on TV and in the movies, the reptilians are the more benevolent and emotional ones, where the grays tend to lack all emotion.
So I want to come back to that in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yes, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Good. We can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. I'll speak up a little. I'm sorry about that. Hi, Louise.
Hi.
Yeah, I did have a question, but Brent beat me to it about the 2012 scenario. And I would just like to kind of comment a little bit on that. Not a question, but so if you could bear with me a little bit. I was, just like everybody else, I was always concerned about 2012 because there's so much talk about, you know, earth changes and devastation and everything. And you know, in recent years, we've been seeing earth changes, and it's like it's escalating. And I can only see, like I've discussed with Kevin before, I grew up with out-of-body experiences, and I could never articulate what I got from an afterwards, but it was always a spiritual enlightenment. And I would always feel very spiritual. And just recently, I started having a great peace come over me about the 2012, and I now believe that 2012 is not going to be like what a lot of people talk about, the great earth changes. And that,
right.
The earth changes that are underway now, I think everything has a good side to it. And what it's doing is actually bringing us, opening us up to our own spiritual growth. We're looking more inside ourselves. And it's going to cause us to do more about our environment than we've ever done before. And it's just like high gas prices. People look at high gas prices as being a bad thing. But actually, they're a good thing because it encourages us to finally do something about fossil fuels and look for alternatives. It pushes us at a faster rate.
Do you know what I'm going to be doing on at midnight at the end of December 21st, 2012?
Having a Kevin Smith party online.
That's, you're partly right.
That's not a bad idea, Kevin.
But what I'm going to be doing, or where I'm going to be doing it, is in Bangkok, Thailand.
Oh,
and now we're probably going to do the tour, the trip this year. We're probably going to do it. I definitely am taking a group to be in Bangkok, Thailand when midnight strikes at the end of December 21st, 2012.
So will you
fabulous
be doing
idea
from there?
Are we going to what?
Are you
going to
be doing a show from there?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, we're going to do it live from Bangkok. And, you know, they will experience, this is the interesting thing, you have to understand that side of the world experiences December the 21st before we do.
They experience it first.
Yeah. And but I'm going to wait until it is midnight on the Pacific coast of the United States of America. That'll be the last shot that the galaxy has at us to hit us on December the 21st, 2012. And we are going to start the broadcast right at that time.
Well, you know, Kevin, it's no different than anything else. I mean, how many times have we've walked this path before, you know, with all these prognostications and prophecies and so on and so forth. I think the only thing that's different now is that there's so many prophecies and things coming at, it's coming to a head. There are definitely things are coming to a head, but I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. Otherwise, you know, we should all go out and party hardy.
Yeah, well, if it is, in fact, going to be the end, it'll be a very short broadcast.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, and a short party. But we'll all find out together, and I'm getting people ready now. I want you to put it on your calendar and be prepared to go with me. We ought to have, we ought to be able to take 1,000 people to party in Bangkok.
Fabulous idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
So you can say, I told you so.
Yeah, Don, are you going?
No, I'm here.
No, are you going to go to the party?
I wish I could afford to go to Bangkok with you.
You've got from now till 2012 to save the money.
Oh, it's 2012. Okay, yeah, that's right.
Because yeah, that depends on what kind of... That also depends, Kevin, on what kind of currency we're dealing with by 2012, too.
Well, that's true, but we'll be able to do it one way or the other, and it's going to be a fabulous party.
Great.
All right, Don, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
Bye,
Louise.
Bye. All right, 1-800-289-1092 is the number for you to call, and you can voice your questions or your comments, whatever you wish. This is a good opportunity. We've talked many times on this show about how novels and movies and music and television shows are all softening us up to the ideas about extraterrestrial life and extraterrestrial beings. Well, here's one of the people who does it, Louise Avaney. Louise, let's talk about this 2012 thing. You said you don't think it's going to be the
gloom and doom scenario?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, partly because, I mean, I started to buy into it, and it didn't feel right for me. And then, quite honestly, in my quote-unquote downloads, they kept saying, stop worrying. It's not going to go down that way. That's my paraphrasing, of course. But that's I get the information with what is I term blocks of thought. And then what I do is I try and get it out into this language, because don't forget, nonverbal communication is the language of the universe. So I get this information, then I have to put it in our language for me to wrap my brain around. But basically, I think 2012 is just going to be 2012. I think it's going to be one of those, it's like when we hit the millennium, everybody thought some really bad things were going to happen, and people moved, and they stored water, and they left jobs, and everything else, and it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing.
Well, on December the 22nd, 2012, I'm going Christmas shopping. I'm going to get my last-minute Christmas shopping done in Bangkok.
You just want to wait and make sure, right?
Yeah.
Just
Metro
case.
Center in Bangkok. I'll tell you, it's a fabulous mall. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm calling from Arizona.
Joe, are you a first-time caller?
No, I've called before.
Okay. What's on your mind this evening?
I've been listening to your show. I have a question for Louise. As far as the beings that she's being in contact with, I don't know if she's heard of the Nephilim. And
Say it again, Joe.
The falling angels.
The Nephilim.
Is there a possibility that what she's experienced are the falling angels, that she thinks they're actually beings from another world?
All right. What do you think about that?
I suppose all things are possible, because I'll be honest with you, Joe. One of the things that I started formulating in my head a long time ago was I was brought up Roman Catholic, and I started saying, gee, I'm wondering if these, what I'm calling angels, are really maybe ETs, and they're just presenting themselves in a form that is more pleasing that we can accept, you know. So I suppose all things are possible, but I will say this. There is a difference, for me anyway, in energy received from one to the other. One is far higher. When I'm dealing with angels or anything of that higher realm, it's a whole different experience. So I do see a difference, but that doesn't mean anything more than what I just said. It could be something as simple as one is more evolved than the other. Just like if you're sitting and talking in a group of people, you might get a better energy response, vibe, if you will, from someone than the person sitting next to them.
All right. We have a break that's on us. Joe, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Joe.
We have a break that is about to be upon us, and so I want to hold my next question until after that break. But we will be back more with Louise Avaney right after this.
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. Let me remind you, if you have not done so, get over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to the free newsletter. It's called the K-Files E-Zine. Comes out each week, and you don't want to be in the dark, do you? Well, that's one way to turn the lights on, all right? You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. Now, let me say this. For some reason, a large number of our K-Files E-Zine subscribers' emails bounced back to us this week. We sent it out twice and got the same results both times. Don't know why. Sometimes there are strange things happening on the Internet that cause things like that. But if you didn't get it, do not panic. We'll try to get it out to you again this week, all right? Sometimes a lot of things happen on the Internet you're not even aware of, but people over in Europe are aware of it because Internet companies got in a little bit of a scuffle over there and refused to exchange the packets between systems. And so people were on the Internet, but they couldn't get out of their own region, and nobody could get in. That actually happened. You weren't aware of it unless you lived there, but it actually happened just a few weeks ago. All right, my guest is Louise Avaney, and we're talking about the real stuff behind her novels. And Louise, talking about the real stuff behind the novels, have you had any specific experience in this journey that was a real aha experience and that really sticks out above all the rest of them?
Oh, sure. Before I pick one, before I really, I should just mention too, Kevin, I haven't even plugged where you can get my books, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
I'm sorry. You can get them at Amazon.com, of course, Barnes & Noble, and Borders. But if you want an autographed, dedicated copy, you can go to my website at www.SedonaAngels.com. Actually, before the very first time I went to Sedona, now this was I was just starting to open up, but you know, it was I knew they had UFO sightings there, but it was no big deal. It was I was hiking up in Boynton Canyon with a friend of mine. First time I'd gone to Sedona. And we're going up to this place called the Spire, if anybody's familiar with that. And as we had just started the trailhead, this woman was coming down. And the lady I was with was very gregarious. And she says, oh, hi, weren't you on the plane with me or something like that? And this woman looked at her like she was nuts. And but she was very, there was something very unique about this woman that she had encountered. And I'll try and make this as short as I can. My girlfriend's going on and on asking her questions, and this woman's answering her very flat line, and I'm just, it's hot, I want to get climbing, and I'm looking at this woman, and more I'm taking something in, and the end result was my girlfriend said to her, this is what really got my attention, my girlfriend said to her, well, how did you get here? And because she thought she was on the plane with her, and the woman answers very flat, another way. And my girlfriend said, well, where are you from? And she answered, another place. And my girlfriend's not getting any of this. All of a sudden I got bells and everything going off in my head. And like I said, I'll shorten this up. The woman leaves, walks away, and I turn to my girlfriend to say, didn't you notice what that lady had on? And as I turned around, the lady was gone. Now, why that is so significant is because we had a clear shot from where we were standing to the trailhead to the parking lot. There was no trees, nothing. I mean, it was wide open, and she just disappeared. Now, what she was wearing, what caught my eye, you know, subliminally, you're kind of going, something's not right here. She's coming down from a vertical hike. She's got on a peasant skirt and what we women call ballerina slippers, which certainly is not hiking gear. And she had this little black, I'd call it almost like the size of today's cell phones. This was back 15 years ago. She had a little black thing in her hand, and she was very homely. She had very short, wiry, gray and brownish hair, and her eyes were almost black, almost like she had no white to them, and she was very hawkish in her features, very thin hawkish. And the word that came up to me, this is before I even knew about them, I said, she almost looks kind of like a reptile. And it's like, wow. I knew that was my very first encounter in the physical of someone from not here. I just knew it. When I was living in Sedona, I was working for a financial planner, and I was getting up early to go to work. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, and a friend of mine who lived up on a hill called me up, and she didn't go with the UFO thing at all. She was very, very spiritual, but there was no room for UFOs in her life. And she called me up, and she goes, Louise, she goes, I don't usually go here, but look out your window. Now, mind you, it's 6:30 in the morning, broad daylight. She says, look out your window in the southwest. I looked up there, and oh my gosh, there was this craft up there, and I'll describe it in a second. And through our conversation, I said, what is it? And she goes, I don't know, but I've been watching it. So I got out my binoculars, and she came down, and we were watching it together. I mean, you could see it clearly without binoculars, but looking at it binoculars, it was so surreal. And it was shaped kind of oval-shaped with almost, it was almost pearlized, opal kind of color, and it had four things hanging from it. I said, almost looked like a cow's udder. It had four things hanging, and then one very long probe hanging down from it. Well, I called Airport Mesa, the airport up there, and I said, hi, I said, can you see? Oh, he says, oh, you're calling about that thing up in the sky? I said, yeah, what is that? He said, we've been watching it for 24 hours. He said, it was all lit up last night. And I said, okay, they're going to say it's a weather balloon. He says, this hasn't moved. He said, not even a degree in 24 hours. He says, if it was a weather balloon, it would have to move somewhat, you know. Of course, the news picked it up. Everybody was calling in, and what did they say? They said it was a weather balloon, but I'm telling you, it was not.
That's pretty cool.
It was very cool. It was so surreal, Kevin. It was beyond to know that you were looking at something. It was pretty big too. It wasn't small. And I'm going, wow. That is. And I'll tell you something else. When you live in Sedona, the folks up there know this. Whenever there's a sighting, you're going to see those helicopters coming in later. The military helicopters fly in formation, trying to find stuff and everything. Sure enough, they were up there.
Did anybody get photographs of that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what they did. Because my daughter lives down in the Phoenix area, and of course I called her up and told her about it, and she says, oh yeah, I saw it on the news. And I said, what did they say? They said it was the Arizona State University kids or something like that they did a testing with a weather balloon, and they had the film at 11. They showed it. They showed it landing, and we all kind of laughed and said, Photoshop, isn't it great? So I'm sure they recreated it and made it work the way they needed to, just to make it, you know, not what it really was. It was just another one of their quote-unquote cover-ups, because trust me, I saw it with my own eyes, and if nothing else, you would expect it to move. And we did that triangulation where if you stay in three different points, everybody says, nope, it's still in the same position, and it did not move for 24 hours. So as far as I'm concerned, it was the real deal.
I want to go back to the event where you were sitting and talking with the woman that had walked up to you originally at one of your speaking engagements.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And you saw her for a brief moment
as
reptilian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What went through your mind initially when you saw that?
Had
you ever seen a reptilian?
No, not at all. I'd seen a gray. I told you I'd seen a gray twice in my bedroom, but I've never seen anything else. And other than seeing my tall one and the shorter ones, and that's when I was first opening up to channel. And I didn't see them fully. I saw it, you know, like you would see a negative in a photograph, the old photographs, you'd see a negative. I saw their outline. It was almost like the skyline of New York kind of a thing. That's how I saw them, a taller one and two shorter ones. But when I saw her, I just went, oh! I mean, it was an immediate knee-jerk. I gasped, and then I went, she said, because it went away within a second or two after seeing it, and then she immediately said, oh, you saw me. And that's when I said, yeah. And I'm still kind of like, here again, it was surreal. And she said, are you okay with that? And I said, yeah, actually I was. And actually I was. And that comes from, there's that knowing thing again, Kevin. You know, when we were talking about not being able to understand we have enough trouble like understanding each other as humans, and never mind trying to understand other beings. Well, it's no different than there's a wonderful little story about when Magellan landed on some tropical island, they said, where did you come from? And they said, well, that big ship out there. And they're saying, what big ship out there? Well, they didn't have it in their frame of reference. They had the canoe, the boat that they came in on, they rowed in on, they had that in their point of reference so they could see that. And as soon as Magellan explained it to the chief, and the chief explained it to his people, it was that aha moment, and all of a sudden, guess what? That ship came into view for them. So I think it's no different than what we're dealing with right now. And I also wanted to say that I believe that something really big is going to happen pretty soon, and I think that's what all this gearing up is for. Larry King Live is showing things on a monthly basis, pretty much. He's got people on. And, of course, with the Vatican coming out with things, and you put me on to the other day, and thank you for that. I spoke before a group and told them what you had told me about the Romanian incident last October 2007. And I think that's what this is all coming to a head about, because we're going to have one of my speaking engagements is preparing for contact, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen real soon.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty cool, all of it together.
We have to take a break. It's our final break this evening, and we'll be back more with Louise Avaney right after this.
You're everybody's hope. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
I'll be there in the morning light.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We have time for, I think we can get one more call in, if you wish to call and talk with Louise Avaney. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call, and you can speak directly with her. Your questions, your comments. Maybe you have been, maybe you've met someone that you think may be ET, or maybe you have begun to wake up to the fact that maybe you're not from here. 1-800-289-1092.
You know, Kevin, I'd like to put a little challenge out there to your audience. If they would like to write to me through my website and let me know of their experience, maybe their story I could interweave it into, you know, if they've had a real happening or experience, I could interweave it into my latest book that's coming out next year, Crystal, because I'm still in the writing phase for that. So I'd like to put that out there.
Oh, good.
You know,
yeah, that
I
would
like
be interesting.
Yeah, that would be really, really fun. So if there's some real deal situations out there and someone wants, you know, if I find it interesting, you know, just contact me through my webpage at www.sedonaangels.com, and that's double A, and there's a, you can write to me there, and I will get back to you, and if it's worthy of being put in the book, I'd be happy to do that. And by the way, if I don't mention my publisher, he's going to kill me. It's published through the Triad Publishing Group, and wonderful, wonderful publisher.
All right. Let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right. The caller is not there. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. One more call, and that'll pretty much wrap it up. pardon me. Louise, do you have a lot of people that come up to you and say, I think I may be, maybe I'm ET?
No, I don't have that many, but I do have a lot of people coming up to me and asking me about implants or showing me that they have one or they had one removed. So that I think that's pretty significant. I had a young fella come up and see me when I was doing a presentation in Sedona. He was only about 19, and he said, he was pretty nervous, and he said, what do you know about implants? So I said, a little. And he said, because I've got one in my eye, and he said, the doctors see it and they won't take it out. And he said, would you like to see it? And I said, sure. And sure enough, there it was. And he was very nervous, and he said, you know, why are they doing this and everything? I said, well, they just want to know where you are, you know, kind of a thing. I said, are you experiencing any discomfort? Have you been taken? And he said no to all of it. You know, he has no conscious memory, but he knows that something is there. And that's what it is, like you and I talked about earlier in this segment, is that it's a monitoring situation. And who knows who he is, you know, mm-hmm. why they're monitoring him.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Colin, and I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Colin, speak up. We can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which call? I'm calling because I had an encounter, and I'm listening, you know, you know what? I don't even know what I wanted to ask. She just said that something about, like, when you know you believe something. I'm having a hard time, like, believing things, even though I'm experiencing things. And it's, you know, in my gut, I know something. But, you know, you don't want to start telling people or broadcasting because you're afraid when time passes, you'll just look the fool for the rest of time, you know. And I'm having a hard time with it, but I'm experienced. I've had a lot.
How long ago did you have this encounter?
January, in early January.
Oh, recently, okay.
It's actually, I posted it on Kevin's site. It's called Encounter. My name is Colin, and that's as true as I could say it in my own words. And one of the things when I encountered this being was I got not scared and not threatened, but I got defensive and hurried. I wanted to leave the moment as quickly as I was realizing I was in the moment. There was a lot of, it was a very lucid moment. It was real. It was real, like I'm talking to you right now, sitting on my back stoop. It's just, it was real. But I started talking. I told my wife about it. She doesn't know how to take it. And, you know, I've had...
Well, you know, they have groups that you can talk to that have similar experiences, because you shouldn't feel you're alone with this, because there's so many that have had it, and it will help you walk through it. You need to come understand why you were experiencing this, why they chose you to have this experience.
You know, when I'm quieter, when my mind is quieter and I'm able to cancel my thoughts, when I can say that to myself and actually achieve it, I tend to have more of these weird, high strangeness things happen to me.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I think that, you know, okay, I like this stuff. This is entertaining to me to listen to you talk about your passion, and it's very entertaining. And wow, those 6 weeks with that man must have been great. But my point is that. I want to kind of make sense out of things, but you don't know that you're just seeing things maybe because you're prone to want to see them. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think that's it at all. And if I could make a suggestion to you, I suggest that you go see a hypnotherapist to help bring clarity to your experience.
Right.
Just to put your own mind at ease that you weren't making it up, and that maybe there'll be some little fragment that you can't consciously get to that you can through hypnotherapy, and it may answer some of your questions.
Right. Because since January, I've had, like, now I'm starting to remember stuff from a long time ago when I was...
Yeah, it'll trigger it. It'll trigger.
Yeah.
And we are starting to remember. You know, that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Well,
was it a not pleasant experience for you?
No, it was, like I said, it was, I think, the thing was on its all fours, a prone. It was down on the ground and looking over its shoulder at me, and its eyes were, I had very, very blue eyes, something everybody's talked about my whole life, and it had eyes that reminded me, and I actually thought maybe it was my dad from another dimension. My dad had passed a couple of years back, and I thought it was that,
uh-huh.
Or I thought maybe it was myself coming back trying
uh-huh.
to help me, because I've been having, all I want to do every day is just love everybody as best I can. And I always resonate back to baser emotions, because it's just easy, quick to come to venom, because, you know, of all the conditioning. And it's just easy to be, you know, mean-spirited about things sometimes, rather than to just, you know, give of yourself and serve. And I'm trying to really resonate like that. And I think as I've started thinking that and taking that on, more of these... high strangeness type things have occurred in my life, and it's not. That's the one encounter that was really dramatic for me.
Well, it sounds like it, but here again, I do recommend that you try hypnotherapy to see what other pieces of this puzzle you can put together for yourself to bring you a little peace with it.
Yeah, Colin, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you, Colin.
I have to cut you off now because we are both about to be cut off, but we've reached the end of the show. Thanks for the call. Fascinating stuff. And by the way, his account is on the website. You just look at the menu and it says listener stories. That's where you find it. Louise, I want to thank you for being with us. Tell us your website address again.
Well, thank you, Kevin. This was a delight, and these 2 hours just flew by. My website is www.sedonaangels.com, and my book can be purchased there, autographed there, and also Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and Borders. And I just wanted to end with a quote from Mark Twain, "Why shouldn't truth be stranger than fiction? Fiction, after all, has to make sense." I thought that was pretty good.
You know, that is good, because the truth sometimes makes no sense at all.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it. Thank you for what you do with these kind of shows.
Thank you. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for just a moment. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this evening. Lieutenant
Lieutenant Colonel Donald Ware will be my guest tomorrow, and we're going to have another great time together. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.